I'm searching everywhere for you, Lord. I'm solid as a rock in sinking sand. I'm trying my best to be a good man. The saints walk through your pearly gates, but Lord, let the sinner crawl through your back door. I don't know if I can fly, so how can I soar? This may sound familiar to you this morning because it may resemble where you're at in your life. It may remind you of times when you struggled. It may remind you of where you're at today. I think it might also be something that Peter could relate to. That's what we're going to look at a little bit this morning. Is we're going to go through a little bit of Peter's life and see what we can learn from some of his strengths and some of his mistakes as well, as we often do in our lives. And hopefully, therefore, we can grow in our own faith and increasingly get closer to God. The first section we're going to look at is Matthew chapter 14, a short few verses through here. pretty familiar story. Starting in verse 22 of chapter 14, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But when the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Then he went on in verse 28, and Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. When he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got in the boat and the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." It's probably a familiar story for you. You hear it a lot, of Peter walking on the water as Jesus is walking on water and starting to sink as he loses his focus on Jesus. I think some of the things we can learn from this lesson here is he looked for Jesus when he was walking on water. He's doing what he was supposed to do. He was looking directly at Jesus. He wasn't paying attention to the wind. He wasn't paying attention to the storm or the things that bothered him. He was focused on one thing, and that was Jesus. Last night, as I was finishing up preparing for my lesson, one of Mom's dogs, Bella, is, as Dad calls her, the she-devil, was running around, and she had this little rubber toy that squeaks obnoxiously, and she loves that thing. She'll bite on it, and she'll, you know, fling it off and chase it all over the place, but she gets it stuck under every single piece of furniture you can imagine, and then, of course, you got to get up and get it for her. She won't leave it alone. Well, they headed off to bed, so I grabbed the toy and put it away, so hopefully she'd calm down. She was not happy with that situation. And for at least another 4 hours throughout the night, she was searching the entire house up and down looking for this toy. And it did not matter what toy I tried giving her that was quiet. Didn't matter. She wanted that particular toy. And I thought it was kind of fitting as I was going through this. That's the kind of devotion we need towards Jesus. And that's a silly example for a little rubber toy, but that's the kind of devotion I think that we saw out of Peter there at the beginning. But when he started to waver and looked at something else, and she started to close her eyes and got tired, the dog did, so she looked away and then she forgot about what she was thinking of. And I think we do that a lot in our lives. Even when he was seeking, he cried out for help, and then he received it. A lot of times we'll go through these trials and we'll start to slip or start to waver in our faith, and we think, "Well, nope, done messed up. I guess I can go ahead and go on down this direction." But I think if we cry out for help, Jesus is there for us. He took the step out of the boat. If you notice, everyone else in the boat stayed in the boat. And we give Peter a hard time because he's the one who went out in the water and then fell in the water, but everybody else was still in the boat. Sometimes we've got to take that step. It's uncomfortable. I'm sure Peter never walked on the water before, and it felt a little awkward to get out and step on it and not sink. We've got to have that faith sometimes. We've got to take that first step. We may not realize what's going to happen, but we have to move forward and take that step. And I think the most important part here is at the end, they went straight from worrying about the storm to worshiping Jesus when they realized it was him. It was a quick change. So I think it's important to keep in mind. "I'm searching for you everywhere, Lord. I'm solid as a rock in sinking sand. I'm trying my best to be a good man." Next section we're going to look at is found in John chapter 18. Another familiar passage is where Jesus is taken away and then Peter denies him three times, as predicted by Jesus earlier. John chapter 18, starting in verse 15, Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. Verse 17, the servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You are also not one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. If you think back to the verses that Bob read for us found in John chapter 21, you'll find a slightly familiar scene. You see the disciples there in verse 9 before that section that Bob read for us. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. I looked up the Greek word for charcoal. I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but I looked throughout the book or searched throughout the internet trying to see if it's used anywhere else in the Bible, and it's not. It's only used in these two passages in John chapter 18 and John chapter 21, and I don't believe that's a coincidence. You see, when Peter is first gathered around a charcoal fire, as Jesus is being taken away, he denies him three times. And after Jesus had been crucified and resurrected, he met them on shore. He was once again around a charcoal fire. If you've ever been around a charcoal fire, it has a very distinct smell. I think Peter remembered that. I'm reminded of a time when several years ago, Dad got an electric smoker and we was trying it out and had some ribs, and they were all cooked to temperature and everything was just fine, but for some reason all three of us got food poisoning real bad. It took a long time before I could eat another rack of ribs. That smell just made me sick, and to be honest, sometimes, still today it does. I think that smell, that charcoal fire in that familiar setting, and Jesus asking Peter three different times if he loved him, I think Peter knew what was going on. And Jesus recreated this setting on this night in Peter's past, not to bring up his faults, but to help him realize his responsibilities. A lot of times we'll focus on things that we've done wrong in our past, things that burden us, things that we struggle with. Jesus is not saying, yelling at you for that. He's saying, you're responsible. Feed my sheep. He's not condemning you. He's wanting you to move forward. I mentioned this earlier in our Bible class that came up, but I was talking with Howard Spangler one day, and he had asked me, it was about a year or so ago after I was home on break at some point, and he asked if I had been to a particular church down in Searcy where I attend college, and I said I hadn't. I said I'd spent 3 years there and I hadn't gone to any other church other than the one I started to. It's the one where some of you remember Chuck, that's where he attended when he was in school down in Harding, so that's where I went to try out, and I never went anywhere else. He said maybe take a day to go out and check out this church, and I took it a lot farther than he intended, I'm pretty sure, but I went to a different church every Sunday this semester. And there's plenty to go around. I got plenty more to go to. And I'm just trying to broaden my horizons a little bit. And I went to a lot of places I normally wouldn't on the doors of, I can tell you that. I went with a friend of mine and walked in, and it was, black room, and the fall machines were going, lifting up, and there were all kind of instruments on the stage and everything. I was immediately uncomfortable. I joked about on the way there that I hadn't been able to buy a ticket online for the concert. Hopefully I could buy one at the door. It was kind of a joke. But after I got past that point, I realized that a lot of these different churches, you'll hear somebody mention about, and we even do this here, mention about a different church and the way they're set or the way those people do it and how that's wrong and how we're right. I think we put way too many divisions between ourselves when we're all just human beings and we're all just trying to make it through this world the best we can. We're all trying to read the same Bible, trying to get the same things out. And I'm not saying that they're right and we're wrong or we're right and they're wrong. I'm saying we've got to have an open mind. Jesus says, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. The sheep are more than just the people inside these buildings right here. The sheep are out there too, and we got to bring them here. In class, we went over a particular example about how to find God's will in our lives, and I showed a Venn diagram with three different circles, one being God's moral will, one being what is feasible, and the other being your personal preference. And where those three intersect is the best choice you can make. And I think it's very important to realize that God's path for us isn't necessarily just a straight dotted outline that you have to follow, and if you narrow off, you're all done and messed up. But you have to. Sometimes you have the freedom of choice. You can't put God in that box to say that He can't help you in other situations. He can help you in any situation you are, so you have to recognize your responsibility of sharing the gospel in each of those. Next section here, kind of moving on after Jesus had been transcended in Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 5. On the next day, the rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Ananias the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" We're talking about healing the crippled. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is a stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which have become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no man under name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and then recognized that they had been with Jesus. I want you to, as we're realizing the part of the story here where Peter is standing up to those in charge, standing up to authority. If we look back to the calling of Peter, Luke chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, "But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell on at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now you will be catching men.'" A lot of times we don't realize our worth, I think. And here at the beginning of calling Jesus, we see that, calling of Peter, we see that he went from feeling unworthy to stand next to Jesus or even be around him, wanting him to leave his presence, to being able to stand up against the authority in the name of Jesus. And in Acts, you saw that Peter was just a common man, just a fisherman, just like us. When I got home from break, I decided to do a little bit of maintenance on my truck, change the oil, change the fuel filters, that kind of thing. And I was feeling productive. So it's the first productive thing that I'd done the entire break, this guy, aside from getting sleep. So I decided to clean out my back seat, something I hadn't done in a very long time. My back seat folds up, and there's all kind of room underneath of it. I found a lot of things in there I didn't know I had. There was two full boxes of 12-gauge shotgun shells in there. There were five loose duck shells just kind of laying around. I remember buying the box freshman year, so I don't know how long those have been back here, at least that long. There's one 20-gauge shell. I don't take my 20-gauge with me to school. I'm not sure where that one came from. My personal favorite, there's a half-shot box of 270 shells. I don't own a 270. I don't know where they came from. Both my roommates owned a 270. I called and asked them. Wasn't theirs either, so I have no idea where it came from. There was Pam cooking spray in there. Three rolls of saran wrap, bulletins from a couple years ago. There's some nice hunting gloves and toboggans I've been looking for a long time, an apron, and my toothbrush charger, which I've missed since I moved in August, and I've just been using my electric toothbrush as a regular toothbrush for the past several months, so that was a good find. And that was just the stuff that I noticed, and it was all hidden under there. I had no idea it was back there. The back seat looked clean, nice and empty. You know, seats were open, everything. That was just what was laying behind the back seat. I had no idea that I had. I think a lot of times we look in our lives, we have a lot of traits in our character that we don't realize we have. Things that are hidden, you don't know that's there, until God pulls them out and fills you with His Spirit and produces them in a situation. Humans are creatures of habit. We like to stay and do the same thing all the time and not change from that very much, but we usually don't learn from that very much either. So I encourage you to challenge yourself a little bit. "I didn't know if I can fly, so how can I soar?" I'd like to reword that phrase that I started off with to something a little different like this. "I'm following you everywhere, Lord. I'm solid as a rock beneath your wing because I'm trying hard to be a good man. Help the sinner lead others to walk through your pearly gates. I don't know if I can fly, so Lord, help me soar. This morning, if that finds you somewhere where you don't want to be, if that finds you somewhere you're scared, you don't know where you're going to go next, Jesus is there waiting for you, waiting to test you, waiting to pull things out that you don't even know are possibly imaginable. All you have to do is take that one step out into the water. As we stand and sing this morning, I ask that you come forward if there's any way that we can help you achieve that goal. Come forward as we stand and as we sing.